Welcome to another episode of Morning Motivation with GoGo
and Natasha.
We are back, and thank you all for the love and support. Thank you all for being here with us as we just share in this podcast space. And we have another wonderful episode that we want to talk about. The topic is, you have to remind your mind. You have to remind your mind. And we are diving deep into that. And what does that really mean? What it means is you have to remind yourself that you aren't who you were, and you are who you are.
Ooh, what? Yes, that is it.
And when you are stepping into that space, this is why they talk about writing down your goals and the vision for your life. You have to have a touch point of where you want to go. Otherwise, mm-hmm. What are you going to remind yourself of? Remind yourself how amazing you are, how strong you are. And when you're setting those goals, especially as a creative, we have to set these goals for ourselves. And I saw a quote somewhere, and they said that when you set a plan for your goal and the plan doesn't work, you don't change the goal, you change the plan.
So true. It's so true.
So we have arrived to the day. We are here. And I know that, yes. Natasha, you have very specific. She did some research. She got some stuff. I look into my paper, and my paper says fill in the blank. That's what my
You always fill in the blanks, though, GoGo. It's just your amazing mind. It flows endlessly with creativity. And I love talking with you. We were actually in the green room for a minute before this. We had one of our heart-to-hearts. And I was telling GoGo, this episode really struck a chord with me. And it brought up a lot of stuff for me. I woke up this morning and I was battling my own mind to get to the podcast chair. Oh my gosh, all this stuff just turned up because my mind was, nope, this isn't going to be safe for you to talk about. You can't tell your truth. You can't. No, this is totally good. And let me actually share that with my podcast partner who reminded me, no, this is a safe space to talk about all of whatever we want to talk about. So Absolutely. Thank you, GoGo, for that.
Of course. And you've already started without even starting, because you just hit on something I have to point out, because when we are faced with the moment to grow and to step out of the comfort of our current thinking circumstances, our mind will literally try to shackle us down and say, oh, no, 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 we're not stepping. You are safe right here in this bondage of hurt, in this bondage of fear. You're safe right here. You've lived in this space. You've been here for so long. Yeah. We know what this looks like. We know what it feels like. Let's stay right here.
Ooh. Ooh.
You having to be able to say, you know what? I see you. I hear you. But I'm going to move on anyway. And that's what you're doing. And I applaud you for stepping out and stepping through that barrier, literally coming out of the matrix of your mind to say, you know what? I'm going to free my mind.
Come on, let's go. Let's go. And if for anybody else who woke up this morning or whatever time of day that you're listening to this and you realized you got up this morning and your mind was holding you hostage in some type of way, just know that you getting to this episode is you taking that step towards freeing your own mind. So congratulations to you as well. So yes, go. I did. I had a couple of things you mentioned. You know, I did take some notes. When we're going to talk about reminding your mind, this is what popped up for me. So first of all, just to give some context to what was so fearful and scary for me when I woke up, is I realized, you know, I've gone through some pretty serious things in my life. I haven't talked about it publicly very much, but I can in general say I experienced some childhood trauma that was significant enough to have a lasting impact on my life. And I grew up with a narcissistic parent. And for anybody who has had any experience with home environment that is chaotic in any sort of way, where there's not enough support for you in a mental, emotional space, it could just basically rock your entire world. And you have to come out of that as an adult and kind of put all the puzzle pieces back together and figure out, well, how do I cope in this world that I haven't really been prepared for? I did go through many, many years of therapy. I'm very proud of the fact that I worked through all of the things that I didn't understand about life and how my mind worked and all these different things. And I pieced things back together for myself. And I continue to do that by reminding myself of who it is that I want to be in my life. That's a day-to-day process for me. It's a minute-to-minute process. And the joy that I have in connecting myself with friends and colleagues, also like Go-Go and situations like these where I get to talk about this in a positive way, it reminds me that I've come a long way.
Yeah.
Come a long way. And there's still the process of living day to day. So it's not over. The journey is never over. And so I love this. I get to come in, remind myself, hey, you're on the right track. So these are some of the things that have helped me along the way. And I'm always looking for tools and teachers and every space that I can find it. I think a lot of us can relate to is the Harry Potter series. I don't know who's a fan. Are you a fan, Go-Go?
I haven't read any of the books, and I have watched, I've been 3 or 4 of the movies, enjoyed them. I love the fantasy stuff. It's fun for me. And after the fact of the movies coming out and hearing the stories of what they were doing to make it through and to, you know, shoot these movies because they were kids. Harry Potter was their childhood, and they brought that to life for the rest of the world.
For all ages, for all ages.
And it's wild to think about. They were, yes, they made a bunch of money. They don't have to work again ever in their life if they manage their funds correctly. But they were in service to the world for this piece of art. And no one knew how big it was going to get. I think there was an idea, of course, when you have this whole world. But then to see how people resonated from all levels is amazing. So yes, I definitely have a great appreciation for the Harry Potter series.
Yes. Well, this particular week before we recorded this podcast, I just went on a Harry Potter kick. I watched the entire series from beginning to end, and it reminded me of, you know, there's so many great themes that J.K. Rowling brought up in this for people to experience. And it's not just for children, it's for adults as well. If you're at any stage of life, you can learn something from the themes that are presented in this story, especially if you enjoy. I love also, you know, fantasy and all those sort of things. So it's a fun series. Now, when I got to the Deathly Hallows part one, this is where it reminded me of what we were going to talk about this week. So in this particular, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, you might want to fast forward a little bit to get to the point, and we'll tell you when to fast forward.
Well, actually, don't fast forward because it's been several years and you should have seen it.
You should have seen it. So anyway, so they are on this journey, and they are a group of the three main characters, and they are on this trek together to rid the world of these powerfully dark, magical, cursed objects. And they're carrying one of them. Well, Ron, one of the characters is carrying the necklace. They're trading off wearing it because it's very powerful. And what they've noticed is that when they wear it, it gives them negative, dark feelings. He's more affected by it than all of the rest of them. And he starts to think that his two friends are cheating together because one of the characters, Hermione, is his girlfriend. The other is Harry. And he thinks they're having an affair right under his nose. Wow. And this is anything further from the truth, right? They're his best friends. But he actually starts to feed on that idea. And the necklace that he's wearing helps him to reinforce that idea. With the whole point, this is a great metaphor for how negative and dark thoughts can really work on our own psyches and our lives and start to poison our minds against the good that is all around us. The friendships that we have, the love in our life, all the things we should be grateful for, we begin to be blinded to all of that because these feelings can become so overwhelming. And it reminded me so much of a lot, unfortunately, of the times that earlier in my life that I spent a lot of time feeling in this very dark space because I didn't feel that I had anywhere to turn to.
Wow. And you, how you put it into that perspective of when you have something or someone in your life that is presenting some type of energy, negative energy, positive energy, whatever that is, and you keep getting constant input of that particular energy, that's going to permeate itself in other parts of your life. And you'll see it. You'll see it around you like, oh, wow. Like, oh, all this stuff is happening. Wait a minute. And you might feel overwhelmed by the thing, depending on what it is, whether it's good or bad. And that whole necklace analogy, when you put the necklace on, he put this thing on him. He added some baggage to himself. He added this baggage, and this baggage was weighing him down and caused him to see things in a certain way because of his state of mind. Oh my goodness. To the point where the people in your life that are the positive forces, you now see as negative. Because of the screen that's over your eyes.
Yeah. Yes. I love that whole scene. And if you haven't seen the series, I suggest you watch it from beginning to end again. And because you can still learn so much from the themes that are there, just like this one. Love it. But yeah, it did feel like a lot like that. And that scene represented visually so well, where he's about to destroy the negative necklace, right? He's found actually a sword that's going to help him to destroy this necklace, and the necklace fights back. At that very moment where he's about to destroy this negative force in his life, the necklace fights back and gives him this powerful vision of his friends in this very lascivious scene where he sees them cheating right in front of him. They're saying all these negative, horrible things about him and saying he's worthless and all the things that he has been fed over and over again by this negativity. It's repeating it back to him, but now showing him in full color vision, like right in front of him. And he has to basically fight against that, and he destroys it. But he had to battle it at the end. It was the strongest at the end. The negativity was the strongest at the end. And that's the part that I think really captured me, because it does really feel like that type of battle when you're facing any sort of negativity of mind. It can feel like your life's going to end at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a great analogy to kind of pick that out and to know that in order to get past this certain hump, we have to push through. And it makes sense, because when you play a game, level 10 is always harder than level 1. After level 10, where you get to the end and you get to the prize. And that's, in this case, freedom of mind. Like, oh, wow, I've been freed from the bondage of my past thoughts, my past habits and actions. But in that last push through is you really got to use every tool in your arsenal to push through and make it through.
Exactly. And let's get into some tools in your arsenal that you can use. So this is one that popped up for me, which is the fabulous book by David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. And I was sharing a little bit about this with Gogo beforehand, but in a nutshell, it's about a young man who goes from couch potato to Navy SEAL.
Wow.
And it's much more than that. It's a journey that I think it would make a great film, just putting it out there. I would love to see the journey of this, that this young man goes through, because his journey was extraordinary. He also experienced some serious childhood trauma with a narcissistic parent. So I related on those levels as well, just from my own life. But just the challenges that he goes through made him decide to take different actions because he wanted a different outcome for his life.
Say it again for the people in the back.
I don't know if I could repeat it. It just like came out of my face.
You said he wanted to take different actions to have a different outcome.
Thank you, witness. Can I get a witness?
Hey.
Thank you, Gogo. Yeah, so he took those different actions. And what he did in this book so beautifully was he shared those actions with his audience and said, hey, you can take these actions too, if you so choose, and get to your own result. Whatever that Navy SEAL level result is that you want for yourself, you can have it. So he talks about the accountability mirror. And what he does for himself is whenever he is feeling like being the person he currently is, which is the one that wants to sit on the couch, eat tons of junk food, play video games, watch TV all day and not do anything, he would get in front of the mirror and just yell at himself what he wanted. You know, he would say some very deriding things to himself. So he would be pretty negative. I feel like the things, I don't know that I could say these sort of things to myself in the mirror, but they worked for him. He needed a kick in the butt is what he basically put it as. And he needed to stop being soft on himself. So in order to do that, he yelled at himself like he was a drill sergeant. And he did that every day. And he put on post-it notes, this thing, told himself, okay, you're going to run 5 miles today or whatever it was. Read the book. You can get all the details of all the things he was shouting at himself. But he gave you the exercise in his book, which is challenge 2. He has different challenges. And the accountability mirror, I tried that one out for myself. Now, I changed it around a little bit. I made the things I was yelling at myself a little bit different. I don't respond to yelling. Like I noticed, like my inner Natasha was like, oh no, girl, please don't. Like, don't yell at me like that, because I'm not going to do anything for you if you talk to me in that tone. she got kind of pissed off. So I like talked to her in a different way. And I was like, okay, we do these things. And I actually put them away for a while. Like I had them all up on my mirror and then I had to take them down because they weren't quite working for me. And what I decided to do recently, because it came back to mind, hey, that accountability mirror, it did work, but maybe you need to try it a different way. So what I did was I put them into a journal for myself. I took the post-it notes and I lined them all up in order. And this is now how I remind my mind, Gogo. Each day, I have them in my journal. I'm gonna actually put this on screen. These are the post-it notes. I don't know if you can see them.
No, we cannot because you have a.
I have the backdrop filter, but here's one of them.
Okay,
I can see.
Okay.
Okay, so I put the post-its in here, and it's on different pages of this journal like that. And so I just go through them, and I go through them in order, and they tell me different things that I want to do for the day. And it reminds me to do it. I know I sound really excited about this because I was forgetting that these are the things I wanted to do.
Mm.
And I didn't have a place to touch in and go, what is it that I want to do? I don't remember. Because your mind will play tricks on you. It will tell you, oh, you know, you don't have to do that today. You feel good today. No, but these are the things I actually need in order to feel my best.
Yes.
To feel the greatest version of myself that I want to become. These are the things I have to do. I must do them.
Right.
So they're in my journal now. And that's what I did with my accountability mirror post-it. So just sharing
that. And I will go on to say that the greatest version of yourself is the most intentional version of yourself. You don't create by happenstance. You create with intention. Because when we start creating by happenstance, we let life happen. We will be an amalgamation of other people's thoughts, dreams, and desires. Because people will, they'll intend for you if you don't intend for yourself. And as a child or someone growing up that is not an adult, yeah, the intention is set for you because you are not fully developed. So you're under the care and tutelage of parents, parental units to push you in a certain direction. And if you're getting some negative input, that's also going to be a part of the makeup of yourself that at some point in your adulthood, you'll probably have to work through and work out.
I love that observation, Gogo. I love that because I think a lot of times, especially if you have gone through some negative stuff in your childhood and that's been baked into sort of your way of approaching or the goggles that you see life through, you can feel sometimes shame around that, guilt around that, and you may not even know what to do to change the way you're seeing the world or see it differently.
Right.
So yeah, this is why it's great to touch in with all the different places like this podcast, because that's what we're talking about. We're trying to find different ways forward together. That's why we're doing this.
You have to set the tone of your life because it is your life. Mm. And when you have that ability to make that change, you do it. And when it doesn't go well, you change it. Change how you're going to do it, but you keep going after it. If you think about the first 18 years of life, 18 years of programming, that's a lot of programming to have to work through and work out. And so, and that might take you a whole nother 18 years to work out all those things and then some. But that doesn't mean that you don't try, because those that make that shift, we've heard of the rags to riches story. You know, there's a reason why those people achieve what they achieved is because they were able to make some shift and changes in their life. And they pushed through that level 10 pressure that was trying to keep them right where they started.
Exactly. And speaking of that level 10 pressure and changing and pushing through, the last sort of tool that came to mind this week is really in alignment with that, which is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Ooh.
Now, yes, just the title, right?
The title alone.
Yeah, listen to the subtitle, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One.
That book, that sounds what I like to call an LC book. You know what an LC book is?
What is that?
A life-changing book.
Hey! It's an LC book for sure. I mean, I started reading this book. It took me a minute to get through this book because also you got to understand, like, everybody's going to have their own journey with however they get the information. And my journey, it was just like, I had to go in at the pace it was going to go in. I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep going until I get through this book. It took me a minute, but now I'm at the stage where he teaches you how to change your mind. He will show you, he explains how your brain works from a physiological standpoint. He explains and shows you, because if you like science, if you like all the details of that, he'll show you all that, but he'll also give you stories, give you analogies. He approaches it in so many different ways, but here's the gist, okay? And this is also, spoiler alert, but for those who want to know, the main thing is that reminding your mind that it is in charge is what this is about. He reminds your mind that it is in charge, and what is currently in charge is our body. Our body is the seat of our subconscious mind. So this programming that Gogo had mentioned, you know, the 18 years of programming, well, the programming actually, the main part of it happens before you are reach a certain age. He gives you the specific age in the book. I'm not going to try to, you know, quote everything because I didn't read that part right before this podcast. So I just want to have you go look at that. But you're up to a certain age, your brain is in receptive mode. And in that receptive mode, you're receiving information about everything that you need to know about the world. And that's the programming. And that's before you can talk. So you can't articulate what you're learning, but you're soaking it in. You're becoming a sponge. You are a sponge. You're soaking everything in. Your cells are remembering it for you. And it's like, okay, when I do this, this is what happens. When I speak like this, this is what happens. These are the results. And your world keeps being reinforced by that as you get older. And so by a pretty young age, you're pretty set with all the programming you're going to get. And it's remembered in your body, not just in your mind.
Wow. Wow. It's remembered in your body, not just your mind. So when you remind your mind, you remind your body, you remind your soul, you remind yourself.
So the body, as he explains in this book, is the seat of our subconscious. The subconscious is the place where we are making our unconscious choices. So when you're saying, I don't know why I did that, it's coming from that place that doesn't have a voice, but it will take actions for you. And that's your body. So your body, this is the part of you that has the most power. It's like the 90% they talk about that you don't have access to. And they say, oh, if only you had access to the 90% of your mind, that part is actually your subconscious. And that subconscious is in your body. And the body has taken control. I want to think almost like that movie Click, where you have Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And he gets a remote, this universal remote, and it allows him to control his life and do everything. But there comes a point where it gets programmed to the things that he wants, and it skips over the parts he doesn't want to be a part of. Well, he ends up skipping through most of his life completely asleep and unconscious, destroys all of his relationships in the process. And at the end of his life, he's completely ruined it. The power of his own choice had been cut off because it had gone into autopilot. And that's kind of what our body has done for us right now. It learned these things, and it's an autopilot to some extent. So I know I'm getting really deep with this, and I do want you to go and read the book to make sure that I've analyzed all this, but that's what I understand of it. And if your body is basically in charge, you have to remind it that you, your mind, is actually in charge of it. That's a process of relinking the body to the mind. And it takes a little bit of what he talks about in this book. I'm still in the process. I'm still learning it. But the fact of the matter is, I've overcome, I think, in the last 6 years, just the last 6 years, some major habits that were defeating me and holding me back, because I've been able to kind of wrangle back that power for my subconscious. And it's not even about a fight. It's not a battle. It's just, hey, look, trust me, I'm in charge now. Like, I know what I'm doing. You don't have to autopilot this for me. You don't have to keep me safe from relationships with other people because you think that's dangerous or somebody might hurt you or whatever that, you know, the trauma from my past was like speaking and going, hey, this is going to happen if you do this. It's like, no, that's actually not true. And I proved it to myself over and over and over again until that programming shut down.
Wow. Wow. Such rich and powerful revelations. And we are in control, but sometimes we relinquish that control. It's up to us to take it back. And that is what this is about. Remind your mind, set the tone of your life, write those things down, do whatever you need to do. I love that, Natasha, when you were talking about the guy that went to the Navy SEALs, saying that, you know, screaming at yourself those in that negative tone didn't work for you. But the process of talking to yourself in a certain way does. And that's so important to check in with yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. One thing that I do, I'm not as extreme as the guy from the Navy SEALs, but sometimes if I've done something wrong, I'll go in and take a cold shower and be like, get it together. You can do this. You got to do this. Yes. You know, and that cold shower just gets you, it just gets you going. It's like, and I'm also, my skin is also taken care of because, you know, the cold water on the skin is really healthy for the skin. So I was accomplishing a lot with the cold shower, but just able to just reset again.
Yes.
You know, because it's a new day. All right, it's a new day. What am I going to do differently? How am I going to show up differently today?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday has already happened, but it's no longer happening. Childhood trauma has already happened, but it's no longer happening. What is happening is right now, today. And what am I going to do?
Yes.
What are you going to do? And that's up to you.
Exactly. Now, this is just to say for any of our listeners who have experienced some serious trauma or anything of that nature, definitely please do seek out the support and help. This is not meant as advice for you to completely depend on. We do want you to seek out all the resources that are available, and we'll be sure to list a few at the end of the episode as well, maybe in the comments or description.
Absolutely. That's a great way to not get sued. So thank you, Natasha, for protecting our podcast. It's like, by the way, we're not professionals, all right? We're just on a podcast. We're just talking, all right?
We're talking. The thing is that, you know, we're here to share. These are the things that have worked. Get you to think about what it is. You came here because you were trying to remind your mind of something. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be? Where do you want to go? There's still a chance for you to make that happen because you're here.
That's it right there. You are here. And we're so happy you're here.
Yes, wow. We are. We are so grateful that you're here. So that's what I've got today. And it wasn't as scary as my mind was making it out.
Well, I'm so happy you reminded your mind and you reminded us that we can also do that for ourselves. And this has just been such a riveting episode. And thank you all so much for listening. There is more to come. We have many more episodes, many more things to share with you. Thank you for joining us on this journey as we are just releasing what's in our hearts to the people. Thank you so much for listening. This has been another exciting, riveting, deep, and moving episode of Morning Motivation with
Go-Go
and Natasha.